Okay, welcome to begin chapter 13. And another era of the Shoftim, of the judges. Again, we witness a pattern. Life has its pattern to it. Its ups and its downs and the exceptional people and the... let's begin. Chapter 13. And the Bnei Yisrael continued to do bad in the eyes of Hashem. The word Yosef means to add. Like Hosafa means to add or to do more. Sometimes people aren't content with what they've done. They sometimes go and they do things worse. They add to it. They sin. And therefore Hashem gave us into the hands of the Plishtim, our Boim Shana, 40 years. And historically, the Plishtim, we're going to see, were one of our worst foes. That's why it's so interesting today that the Arabs call themselves the Plishtim. They're not actually Palestinians. In other words, the Palestinians aren't Palestinians. They took that name from the Bible. But they're not the Palestinian people. They're Arab peoples that lived in the land of Israel. And then they were referred to by the Europeans as Palestinians because the nations that lived in that land were called Philistines. But they actually aren't the Philistines. There's no connection historically between them and the ancient peoples that were there. The Philistines were long gone. You know, they were wiped out or destroyed or sent away or the many, even thousands of years ago. But it's just interesting when you read the news, you know, the Plishtim were fighting against the same Plishtim, but it's a... It's almost though it's not important if they're the actual related to the Plishtim. The Plishtim are that nation that is our neighbor, that it terrorizes us. And Hashem puts them there to keep us straight or to remind us that if we're not doing the right things, so then we get terrorized by the Plishtim. So for 40 years, which is a long, long time, the Plishtim, we were given over to the Plishtim. Verse 2. Now here, you don't even hear that we called out and our prayers were answered, but it's almost like sooner or later Hashem comes to our aid. Hashem can't allow it to go on very long. Hashem always hears our tefillos. So there was a person from Sora, from the family of Dan. Dan was one of the smaller tribes. Historically, they are not thought of on a strong level because there was one of the few tribes that actually had their own idol was Dan. The people of Dan had set up the Pesel Micha. There was a certain idol that was there. Some of the idea, though, is that we don't believe that... In certain dynasties or certain privileged races or peoples, that you find that sometimes even the lowest tribe produces the highest caliber person. And we just you never know who's going to be great. It's up to each individual. And that's a concept that you constantly see. So even though a lot of the leaders of the tribes were from Yosef or were from Yehuda, and those certainly, in terms of Jewish leadership, all of our great leaders are from those two, either from Yehuda, the lion, or from Yosef, the ox. You know, both of them are very strong animals. And Dan, in the blessing, is likened to the snake. So, on the one hand, that may not sound like such a compliment, but the snake is a very powerful creature. You know, the snake is very deadly. Over here, Dan is going to save us from the Philistines, who were a very strong enemy. And it's not going to be a direct assault on the Philistines, unlike the other cases where we would go out to battle and we would destroy the enemy entirely and there'd be this battle. Dan is going to destroy the enemy in kind of a backhanded way, something like the snake that kind of doesn't like attack. It like slithers along, and when the person doesn't notice it, it sneaks and it bites him. In a certain way, when Yaakov described how Dan would save the Jewish people, he was referring to the method that Shimshon was going to use. And it's probably the most unique way of winning a battle. We're going to see a little bit later how he fought the Plishtim. And he did it single-handedly. In other words, he didn't lead an army like the other people did. We'll see that he single-handedly defeats the Plishtim. which is just an amazing, I mean, imagine, you know, everything that goes into a war, how many millions of people and the supplies and the army. He's going to single-handedly solve the problem, which is going to be an amazing thing. So sometimes we hear about a hero and we imagine that he came about in a vacuum. He was, all of a sudden he's here. Behind every hero is his parents. That's the important thing, are the parents that put, you know, when you meet a good person, most of the time it's because of the parents that person had, that what they, how they raised him. Here, the Torah is going to give us a glimpse of Shimshon, and it starts with the parents. And so we get an idea that his parents were very worthy people, that they would have this son who would be Shimshon. So that's really where it begins. Mi'ishecha b'tzemishpach, he's from the family Dan Ushmo, and his name was Manoach. That's the father's name, Manoach. V'she'ishto akara. And his wife was barren, v'lo yolda, and she didn't give birth. There's an idea in Tanakh that Hashem sometimes holds things back from those that he loves, because he loves to hear from them. It's an interesting idea, something that really needs explanation in of itself. But you find that all the Avos were barren. And even at a time when this was very important to them, that they were following in the ways of Hashem, and they wanted it to go on to future generations. And to be barren was a big challenge. And Hashem did that because rather than just having the blessing of children, they became very close to Hashem through the davening. So sometimes we say to ourselves, let's get close to Hashem without a problem, so we won't have to create a problem so that we can have... In other words, we all know that if we're worthy of it, Hashem desires us to be close with Him and to be praying to Him and connected to Him. And sometimes that only comes about when a person's really in trouble. Because when they're really in trouble, they get very close to Hashem. They're always connected to Him. They talk to Him. People that have gone through ordeals, they're very close to Hashem. So if we were smart, or if we could figure out how to do it, we should figure out how to get close to Hashem, and so that He doesn't have to send us trouble that we sorrow, so that we remember Him. And so that's always the challenge. But Hashem wants us to be close to Him. Hashem wants us to communicate with Him. Hashem wants us to connect to Him. So here, she did not give birth, and they wanted children. And until now, they did not marry. It doesn't say how long they were married. It's interesting, the expression. First it says she was barren, and then it says that she did not give birth. I wonder if it means that she had and she miscarried, or she was unable to. It's not clear. Okay, first thing. Vayar Malach Hashem Ela Isha. The angel of Hashem first appears to the wife, which is interesting of itself, too. Like, usually you think it appears to the husband. Some people say she was more worthy of the two, which could be. Again, it's hard to know. In other words, she merited that the vision come to her first. But Yomar, other people say that usually we're going to see that we talked a little bit about this last week, that Shimshon derived his holiness from his being a Nazir. And the Nazir is a person that lives on a different level of holiness. He's stays away from wine, and he stays away from the bar scene, the alcoholic scene. He's way above that. He even thinks that are permitted to people, he's careful from. He doesn't come in contact with the dead. He has a very his hair grows long, and he doesn't shave. He's in some ways removed from the world. He's not involved in the most people in the world, they like to drink and they like to groom themselves. He's not involved in any of that. He's dedicated to Hashem. Most people, they don't do that their whole lives. They try it for a certain amount of time. There's a certain point in life where a person needs, they need something, they need a spiritual high, so they try being a nazir for a little. And men and women did this, by the way. We're used to always thinking of men being the nozer, but women were, I guess if you like long hair, you know, why not? There were famous women that were nazirim as well. But usually it was for a certain amount of time. And then when the time was up, the person brought their offerings and they finished, and that was... one kind of nazirus called, it's named after Shimshon. It's lifetime nazirus. You join the club for life. He was unique in that this form of nazirus. He was raised from day one with that in mind. He was raised from the start. With most of us, we do our things, and at a certain point in life, we try living on a higher plateau for a month or two. Nazirus was like 30 days minimum. But 30 days isn't that long to go without a haircut, without a drink of wine. It's not too bad. Shimshon was raised with the Naziris. So his holiness really started from day one. It's almost like he was born to be that person who would be on this higher level that would deliver us. So therefore, if you're going to try to create a person that's going to be raised with holiness, you got to talk to the mother first. Because the mother is the one that's going to raise this. You know, the father will be in the picture, but usually the father, the beginning focus is on the mother. So therefore, the malach appeared to the mother, because if this was going to happen, she was the one who had to make sure, you know, no grape juice for this baby. Right? That was going to be from day one. Other children could play. Sometimes they played outside. They played near the cemetery. This child was going to be separate. He was going to be different. He was going to be from day one. So the malach came to the woman Vyomela Hinena. So they actually we know her name. It's not actually quoted in Tanakh. It's brought to, meaning it's not. Her name was Slophonius, I believe. I saw it somewhere. I think in the name lawyers. Yeah, I'll check on that. But in here, it doesn't always say her name. Sometimes people were modest. They didn't use their first name. You know, that was, they didn't always have their first name. Everybody used their first name. Here, we just know that she was Shimshon's mother. That was her.
It says here Manoah's wife was Hatzelponi.
I think that's just an English way of saying Slophonius or Hatzelponius, maybe. I'll double check. Which commentary does it say?
This is in the Judaic Press.
I see it. I have it in front of me, this one.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see it before, but now I see what you're referring to. That's a little funny. Apparently it's quoted over there. Okay, I'll have to look it up over there, see a little bit more about. But at any rate, at this point, we just know her as Shimshon's mother. So the angel appears to her and says, behold, you are barren below Yalda Varisa, and you will become pregnant via Lada Bein. Some people say she was already pregnant. She didn't know it. And you'll have a son. Ba'ato anau hishrim reinina. But because you're going to have a child that's going to be holy from birth, you have to be careful even now. This concept that what a mother eats goes to the child, believe it or not, was not known by doctors until recent times. You know, that the mother, when she's pregnant, if she doesn't have a healthy diet, or if she's an alcoholic, or if she does certain things that affects the child, is more of a modern idea. But had people read Tanakh, it would have been very clear that whatever that it says over here to the mother, you know, the child, what the mommy eats, that's what the child eats. And she may not, so be careful. And don't drink wine, or shake, or intoxicating beverage. And don't eat anything unclean. Because you are pregnant, and you're going to give birth to a special son. And you're not going to cut his hair. Because he's going to be separate. Nazir is somebody separate, somebody unique, somebody above the rest. And it starts from when he's born. And the plishtim, who for 40 years were causing trouble, and there seemed no end in sight, he was the one who was going to begin to defeat the plishtim, the Philistines. The word used, that he'll begin to defeat them, is an interesting word. Yachelva. It's actually the same word that's used when a person takes a vow and the vow no longer is binding. It's called, the Torah says, Bao Yachel, it uses the word Yachel Dvarov, that the vow is released. Some people say that we were reluctant to fight against the Plishtim because they had we had promised them, the forefathers had promised them that we would never go to war with their descendants. And he was the first one, either because the generations had passed by, that was, if you remember, when Isaac promised to the Philistine Abimelech, he said, my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, but it was only like three generations. So it could be now it was up. Or the Philistines had broken the promise, because they had, the treaty was that if that we won't fight with each other, but the Philistines were fighting with us, and so now Shimshon would be the first one to begin to defeat the Plishtim. Verse 6, Devilisha, Tomar Leisha. So this happened to her. She had the vision, so she tells her husband. She said, Leimar Isha Elokim Barilai. Now, it's not clear. We've had this before. When we talk about a holy person, they weren't always sure if the person was like a prophet or they were an angel. And the words used are almost interchangeable. We had that in the early part of Shoftim, where we had, it said an angel came, and then we said it was Pinchas. You know, the prophets were angelic kind of people. They were people that God spoke to, and that they were very holy and very spiritual. On the other hand, you had angels of Hashem. It sounds like from here that she thought he was an angel. She thought he was a person, because she calls him a man of God. So she assumed that this was not an angel, this was a man of God, this was just a holy person. So she says to her husband, I saw a holy person. And he came to me and he had a vision of Mara Kamara Maluk. But he, even though he was a holy person, he looked like an angel. You look like an angel, you smell like an angel, you're an angel, right? In other words, she said, he was a person, but he looked like an angel. And he was very fearful. But below Shai, you know, I didn't think to ask him, you know, his name, where you're from. You know, sometimes you meet a great person, you don't have a chance to do small talk. You know, I didn't ask him where you're from, the Shmo, Lohiga. I didn't find out where he is, who he is. All I know is, out of nowhere, a very holy person appeared to me and told me this prophecy. And he said to Father, Yomeli, Hinek, Hara, you're pregnant, be old, and you give birth to a child. Now, Tishtiyan, don't drink wine or shake or anything intoxicated. Verse 7. Be'al tochle kol tali, don't be careful what you eat. Ki nazar eloki miyanar, because this child will be a special child, will be dedicated to the Almighty. Menebetin, from his birth, ad yom mosa, till the day of his death. Verse 8. Now, Manoach, he trusted his wife, he believed his wife, but he was disappointed that he didn't have the vision. He felt like he was insulted that why didn't they get this vision together? So he also wanted to experience this. Some people say he was just wasn't sure of all the details, and so therefore he wanted more clarity. So Manoach, but yes, Manoach davened to Hashem, and he said, "Be Adoni." He said, "Please, Hashem, Yisho Kim Asher Shlad, that your messenger that you sent." Let it not just be something that my wife knows about. I want to have part in this too. Let me meet the guy. Let him teach us. How are we going to treat this young man? So it's interesting. We mentioned like the mother has the child in the very beginning when they're the youngest. The mother is no question. She's the primary influence. But then when the child is older, then typically, especially with the son, the father has an influence. So he says, well, I'm the dad. I need to know what's going on here too. So maybe the Malach needs to give me special instructions also. What I should do. What's going to be done. Until now, this was never done. This raising this child's prophecy, this was something no one had heard of. And so it was very mysterious. Verse 9. And Hashem heard what Manoach said. And so this time the angel of Hashem comes back. So first he comes back to the woman to make sure they're both on the same page. You know, he comes to the woman, she's in the field, and her husband wasn't with her. I don't know why Hashem does it this way. It's almost like, you know, sometimes he needs someone else to be there, and then when the phone call comes, they're not there, right? So the angel appears to Hashem. It could be, as we said, that she was the worthy one, that they wanted the husband to appreciate that the angel was coming in the wife's merit. Verse 10, so she ran and she told the husband, I saw the man, but he's here today. Verse 11, so he heard his wife said he's there, so he picked himself up and he ran after her. Are you the man? Are you the one, Asher Dibart, that you spoke to my wife? Vayomer Ani, that's me. The angel said, Ani, that's me. Verse 12. So he said, I hope that your words come true. But tell me, repeat to me what the rules are. I don't fully comprehend them. It's not maybe because he didn't understand that from his wife, or he wanted to make sure they were clear. Verse 13, he said, your wife got it right. Whatever your wife tells you, that's what you're supposed to stay away from, tishamer. Whatever, you know, your wife tells you, you got to protect yourself, whatever she's worried about, that's what you should be worried about. It's a great verse there, right? In other words, Nikola Shira Marti, whatever I tell to your wife, the wife is the, you know why the wife goes around the husband when they get married? Because she protects him. She's the one that makes the protect. So you might say it's the other way around. The husband is the strong one. He's the, but the wife, she looks after everybody in the house. You know, she worries about, you know, the things that the house needs and the husband needs. So that's why symbolically when a person gets married, the wife protects him. She puts a wall around him. She has someone to look after him. And so he says that, you know, whatever your wife tells you to watch out for, that's what you're supposed to watch out for. That's really the message here. Nikola Shir Marti Alisha Tishama. Whatever I told your wife that you gotta watch out for it, believe me, she knows. And then he repeats what it was that he said. Verse 14. It's just interesting how that, like I said, it speaks it out in that verse 14. Nikola Shir Yez Migefanyan. So first of all, anything that comes out of grapes. Now grapes, by the way, did not include just the alcoholic, not only the wine, but really any grape juice, grape jelly, grape jam, anything that comes out of grapes. Let's talk. The yain v'sheicha, nothing intoxicating. The kol tama tochaba, anything impure. Ki kol asher sivsi tishmor, whatever I commanded, those things that are mentioned in the Torah, that there are laws of purity. Today we are not necessarily so careful with the laws of purity on food. When we wash our hands for bread, that's a remnant of the ancient laws of purity of food. Our food has to be kosher, but there were certain laws of the people ate food on a level of purity. If the food got wet and it was, it's interesting today that they talk about the food that gets wet causes salmonella contamination. They have that whole big peanut butter, but in the laws of purity, the primary focus is on food that gets wet, that's been wet. It talks about food that's been under the same roof as a dead body. It talks about food that's been in contact with certain kinds of creatures, you know, certain kinds of creepies that might have eaten the food or come in contact with the food. In Europe, the Black Death, the bubonic plague, spread all throughout Europe because nobody realized that the mice were carrying the plague. Yet, you know, that was part of the ancient rules, which was to keep away from the creepies, you know, that they carry germs and they spread germs. There were certain rules of eating impurity, and those were followed, and they were saying that they were told also to follow these rules. When we read them in the Torah, we read through them pretty quick because we don't follow the exact rules anymore. It's not exactly the kashrus rules. They were like a higher level of purity, which food that was eaten in the temple. Or people that were pure, if let's say a person was bringing an offering, so they had to have a higher degree of caution in the food that they ate, with what came in contact with the food. Again, those are the laws. There's a whole section in the Talmud and the Mishnayos that deals with these laws. It's called Taharos, the laws of purity. There was a group during the Second Temple era called the Prushim. What do they call them? The Pharisees. So the word Pharisee, it's a funny word, from the word parish, was because they separated from food that was contaminated. They wouldn't eat just any food. Before anybody ate food, they had to wash their hands before they prepared the food. So again, you might say, of course you should wash your hands before you... It took the civilized world 2,000 years to know that you're supposed to wash your hands before you eat, you know. But the Purushim, they made fun of them because they washed their hands before they touched food, and they were careful when they touched food and what other things they came in contact with. But Shimshon also, the Nozer also, would be careful with his contaminated food.
Where are the...
In Vayikra, in Leviticus, Parshas Sav, a few other places, about the laws of purity. It's what's called Taharas. Again, we tend to skip through it or not, you know, it's just, they have actually like a first degree contaminant and a second degree contaminant. It's quite complex. So they were told to be careful with all of them. 15. So Manoach is a very hospitable person here. He says, you came by, you brought the good news, so wait around here. Let's bring you a goat. I'll bring you a goat. In other words, let's have some hospitality. Let me take care of you. He says, even if I say I can't eat, but he said, if you want to bring an offering to Hashem, that you could do. You can't do it. You want to do something for me for giving you this nice prophecy, I can't take any present. It's nothing personal. You want to be grateful to Hashem, you want to bring an offering to Hashem, that's fine. Ki lo yada Manoach ki malach Hashem. Manoach didn't realize that he was talking to an angel. They discussed a little bit that when the angel came down to Avraham, he pretended to be a person. Remember the three angels that came down? But over here by Manoach, he doesn't really pretend. We're going to see there's all discussions about, you know, what happens when angels come down and why they come down. I wasn't really going to focus on that a whole lot unless somebody's really intrigued by it. 17. So Noah tells the Malach, what's your name? So it's interesting, you know, Manoach, he's very curious. His wife didn't ask any questions. She didn't think to ask. You know, she was just, wow, I'm going to be pregnant. I'm going to have a child. Well, you know, so he wants to know everything. Some places that's the... So he wants to know your name. Who are you? What's your name? We do find that Yaakov Avinu, when he's wrestling with that angel, he asks him his name, right? He says, what's your name? Ki yavu devrecha. He says, I want to know, you know, when your words come true, the kavnucha, and so that I can tell everybody about you. The idea also with a malach is a malach is considered a messenger. The Hebrew, and the word for an angel in Hebrew is the same as the word for a messenger. He's a messenger of God. And a person sometimes wants to know, what's the message? What are you coming for? The angels that came to Avraham, some of them came to help Avraham, some of them came to destroy Sodom, some came to rescue Lot. What's your job? What are you all about? Verse 18. Don't ask my name. Vuhupeli, it's a wonder. It's hidden. So the Malach kind of says, it's a mystery. I can't tell you all that. Some people say that the Malach was saying that some people, if they don't, they were unwilling to do what they didn't understand. In other words, if I don't understand it, I'm not. And unfortunately, if that were true, most of us shouldn't ride on a plane and drive a car, because we don't know how that stuff works, or use a microwave. If we went by our own understanding, we wouldn't get very far in life. We have to realize that there's a lot of wisdom out there. And so the angel was saying that there are people that they were only willing to follow a God they could see. The Jewish people were saying, well, if you can't see God, so he must not exist. That's what the idolaters were saying. So the Jewish people, we have faith. We see there's a higher power. We are aware that there are things in life we can't see. Part of our service of God is that there's a higher power that we may not see in front of us. So the angel tells them, you don't need to know. You know, that my message is that Lamazat Tishalishmi, you don't always need to know everything. The part of the Naziris is a mystery. How does not drinking wine give you power? Sometimes you just got to do it, and it works. For Hupeli, it's a wonder. And so that's the they have some very cute children's tapes about Samson, and they talk about the angel Peli. You know, that's who their name. His name is Peli. That's the way they call it. And they dramatize the story, and they try to be very accurate to the text. Verse 19. But Yikam Manoach, you see, takes the goat, it's a Mimka Beyal, and he brings them up on the rock. Lashem Umafi Lasos. And all of a sudden, a wondrous thing happens. This angel Peli, the Hebrew word, they said does wonders to you. But if you look on the Hebrew, the word Peli Umaf and the word Mafli are the same. Mafli means one. But the angel does basically the offering, he slaughters it and gets it ready, and poof, you know, like it, the smoke comes up and the fire, and it's a wonder. Umanovish, and they see it. So then all of a sudden they realize this was not just a person. They began to realize that this was an angel of Hashem. This word, Peli or Mafli, we have this in the blessing that when we use the restroom, there's a blessing, Asher Yatzar. We say, Rofei Kol Basu Mafli Lasos, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, who heals all flesh, who does wonders. And part of the idea is that we take the simple human functions as being very simple and very easy, but actually it's a wonder. If somebody's system doesn't work right, they'll be in and out of the hospitals and doctors they'll need all kinds of devices just to do simple things, just things that we take for granted, that we, several times a day, that we don't worry about. And so when we say a blessing, we say it's really a wonder. We have a liver inside our body that pulls the contaminants out. It takes the nutrients and takes the good. It gets rid of the bad and it flows through. And it can't be doubly. It's a wondrous thing. And that, it's interesting that word peli or mafli is in that blessing. Rofe kol baser, God who heals all flesh. Umafi lai, does wonders. That's this word of this angel. He does wonders. So the angel does wonders with the offering. Verse 20. Vayehi da'alos alahav me'alam mizbeach ha'shemayim. Now when they make the fire, the Yah Malach Hashem Balahav, the angel disappears in the fire. It's really cool, the fire, and you have the middle of the fire. I think the middle of the fire is the Lahav. They call it the flame. It's like inside the fire, all of a sudden the angel, I don't know if they see the angel in the fire, but as the fire is going up, the angel seems to be going up with that fire. And Manoach Ishto Royim, and Manoach and his wife were watching, and then they realized they were in the presence of a really holy being, but Yifalfanayim, they fell on their faces out there. That was really something. 21. Now you might think that here they saw the angel twice, they never saw him again. That was it, that was the last time. And they realized that this wasn't just a prophet, but this was the real angel of Hashem that had come to them. They would need this faith, because being the parents of Shimshon was not easy. We're going to see that Shimshon had a lot of challenges in life, and the parents had challenges in working with. So, verse 22, B'yom Manoach Ishto Mos Namus. Now, he was a little bit afraid. Manoach said to his wife, you know what? We're goners. Mos Namus. We are surely going to die. Ki Elokim, because we saw God. We saw our Maker. There's an idea that people are not, as long as they're sent down to the world, which is a place distant from God. And then when we finish our job, Hashem comes and takes our soul back. And the way he does it is he sent us an angel. And our soul, which is inside our flesh and blood, when it sees the angel, it can't stay in the body anymore. It goes back to its source. It goes back to where it came from. That's really what death is when the soul leaves the body. So if a person experiences that closeness to Hashem, it's not so simple that a person can continue to live, because the soul doesn't want to stay anymore in down here. It sees its maker, it reconnects. Therefore we find, when the Torah was given, it says that the souls left their bodies, right? They went back to Hashem. So here they thought they saw Hashem, so Manoach said, you know what? Our souls aren't going to, this must be it. If we see Hashem, there is that idea that a person sometimes before death, they see Hashem, they see Hashem coming, they see this. So he said, you know what? We saw God. So Manoach said, you know what, this is it. You know, Manoach said to the wife, we're dying, we're gone. We saw the angel, there's nothing left. So his wife was very smart. The Tamar Alishto, she said, Lo chavetzel, you know, if God was killing us, he wouldn't have taken the offering. Manoach thought that when they saw this vision, that this must be their final vision in life. But his wife said, that can't be. Below it is Kolela, and look what he told us, and everything he showed us. Galatia Kazos. And no one had ever heard of anything, but she convinced the husband that they weren't going to die, that they were going to live after this experience. So, that was the, they both were convinced, they saw the angel of Hashem, and they followed the instructions. 24. So the woman gave birth to a child, and she called the name Shimshon. She gave him the name Shimshon. And the child grew up, and he was blessed by Hashem. Now, what does the name Shimshon come from? So most people say it comes from the word Shemesh. Shemesh is the sun. The sun is very bright and full of glory. The sun also protects the world. It keeps the world warm. And when the sun would rise, people no longer had to be afraid of the wild animals. You know, when it's dark at night and the animals are out and the sun rises, you can see everything. And in a way, Shimshon would be like the sun. He would be the one that would protect the Jewish people. And so that's understood by many people. That's what she meant by calling him Shimshon, is that he would be like the sun.
Well, it's interesting. It says she called him Shimshon, not they, but she.
Yes, that is interesting. That. Again, many people say she was the main. You know, she was the primary. You know, the angel met with her first, and she seemed to get the message. So she was prophetic in this regard about her son. It is interesting because other places it says they called or he called. Here, the mother gives him the name, right? And she calls him Shimshon. Other people learned that in the old days, the person who was the assistant in the shul was called the shamish, the one that served like the. So Shimshon was like the shamish; he was the servant of the Almighty. Other people learn it like that. Other people learned from the word shamin, which means to destroy. He would wipe out the plishtim. He would, you know, when he would finish with people, there was nothing left. You know, Shimshon was one of the all-time greats. But all those things could go into the name. Verse 25, Techo Ruach Hashem Lefamo. Now, Shimshon, as he grew up, he began, the spirit of Hashem would come to him. It was almost like Hashem would appear to him. The Machane Dan Bein Tzira, this was between the two places. One thing about Shimshon was that Hashem wasn't always with him. Some prophets, you realize Hashem's presence was always constantly. He, it says over here, like at different times, the spirit of Hashem would come over him. Growing up, there was this big power, this spirit of Hashem that would come over him and create the forces within him. Some people thought that Shimshon was unusually strong. It's not so clear like that. Many people say that he was not unusually strong. It was only when the spirit of Hashem came over him that he got strength. And we'll see that as we go. Really, next week we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of the Shimshon. But we have the beginning of Shimshon, and it goes back to the mother, because she's the one who raised him to be the hero that he would become and had the loyalty to Hashem.